This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Did you know that everyone has rights? No matter who we are, we all qualify. But what happens when freedoms collide? The answers are rarely simple, but always interesting. Join me, Danielle McLaughlin, to talk about civil liberties and human rights on Know Your Rights.
Oh, sorry, guys. Just a moment. I'm just lighting this fuse here. Many of us have been following the high-profile criminal trial of former President Donald Trump that is taking place in New York. One of the significant issues at the beginning of the trial was jury selection. We're going to look at what happens in the U.S. and in Canada when a person is called for jury duty. Because, I mean, after all, we all know you're called. And then the person who's on trial gets to pick out who they want on their jury. Danielle McLaughlin, welcome back. How are you?
I'm well. How about you guys? Everybody doing well?
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Good,
we were talking about your favorites, the cherry blossoms, today a bit on the show and last week. Did you enjoy them this year?
I really did. In fact, I've gone to about four different places to see them this year. And one of the things that I discovered that I thought was really lovely, I have a family member with mobility issues, and I discovered that there is a certain place you can go where you don't need to get out of a vehicle in order to see all of them. And it was really nice to know that, because High Park, which is the famous one in Toronto, is really not accessible because they close off the roads. And in fact, if you have a mobility issue, it's really difficult to get there. Whereas this other place in Centennial Park in Etobicoke, you can drive, you can see all the trees. And I thought that made me feel really good to know that that was available.
Oh, man, what a nice option to be able to take them in. Well, we've been sitting there talking about it. I was out on a bike ride the other night looking for them. And now I think that ship has sailed here, possibly, especially with all the rain. But so wonderful. Yeah. Okay. All right. Why do democracies require juries?
Well, you know, I started out by thinking about, I have to confess, I'm sort of a political and legal junkie. If you recall your history, you'll remember that according to the old British law system, the king was the arbiter. And if you were a lord, you would be the judge over whether your serfs had committed an offense. And if you think about it, quite a conflict of interest. So that if, for example, something had been stolen from your palace, not only would you accuse them and try them, you would also punish them. But when we moved into democracies, we came up with this idea that people should have the right to be tried by a jury of their peers. And that means your equals, people who are in law, at any rate, in the same position that you are, so that they aren't above you the way the lord in the olden times would have been, or the king. Yet here in Canada, we still speak of criminal cases as RV, whoever it is who's being accused. So that means it used to be Regina, it's now Rex, the king versus the person who's been accused. In the States, if you're watching the Trump trial, you'll see it's the people of New York versus Donald Trump. So the people now have taken over that particular role. So juries are trying to make, the idea of a jury at any rate, is to try to make things more equitable and to give people a fair chance at being found, at having the truth found of what has actually happened.
I think federally in the U.S., it's the United States versus whomever,
that's
right?
That's right.
All right. Single with Canada, who is eligible to serve on a jury in Canada?
Okay, you have to be over 18 years of age, and you have to be a Canadian citizen. You cannot have been convicted of an indictable offense, and you have to be physically able and mentally able to serve. Those are the basic requirements.
Okay. So is that the same in the States?
Well, I think it's 19 in the States. You have to be an American citizen. You have to be able to read and speak English in the United States. Here, there are some accommodations, but basically English and or French should be available to you. We have a long list of people who aren't eligible, quite different from the people in the United States. So, for example, in the United States, it's just, you know, citizens who are also resident and, you know, don't have a criminal conviction for certain kinds of crimes. But here, if you are a member of the Senate or House of Commons, if you're a sheriff, if you're a lawyer or a law student, a doctor or a dentist in practice, in active practice, if you're a corrections officer, a probation or police officer, if you are a firefighter, if you are a judge or a justice of the peace or another officer of the court, or if you are a member of the armed forces on active service, you are not eligible to serve on a Canadian jury. In the United States, active military also cannot be put on juries. But you may notice that among the people who are sitting on the Trump trial are a number of lawyers. That would not be permissible here in Canada.
And you wonder about police officers and members of the court. Mm-hmm. I think I'm puzzled about dentists and was it doctors? Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes. Who are in active practice. And I think the idea, and firefighters, is that these people are so important to the to the community that we can't take them away from their employment.
And that does make sense. That's what I was thinking, that when you listed them, that's what I thought, that the importance of their job, you know, we can't afford to have them not available.
We can't, exactly.
I was really overthinking this. I was almost wondering if it would be because forensic evidence or whatever would be interpreted maybe in a different way than just your peer would interpret it. But your explanation is much more reasonable.
But you know what, Grant? We're going to get to that. Because that's a different step, and you could be right.
So I'm going to ask you, how are jurors chosen? But I would also just like you to throw in, you know, people with disabilities. I know people have fought for the right for blind people, let's say, to be on juries. Where does that stand, and how are jurors chosen?
Because we've been discriminated against.
Absolutely. That is, and that's a really important issue. There have been a number of court cases having to do with that. The system, the justice system, is obliged by law to accommodate people with disabilities if possible. So there's a good question. What does that mean? Well, it means, for example, that deaf jurors can demand a sign language interpreter. I'm not sure how it would work in certain trials for people who are blind or who have low vision. In general, please forgive me for this, but you know the saying, justice is blind, which should mean that blind people should be specifically eligible to serve on juries. But if, for example, there's a great deal of visual evidence, that might make it more difficult. Can that person have the evidence described to them? Is that going to be the same, equal to the jurors I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's,
so and I've heard even things like the eye contact, even the ways that a lawyer may choose, if they're more confident that they can look at Danielle and convince you with their eyes, but I can look at that Kelly guy and all I see is rolling eyes. No, I can't do anything with that.
Well, exactly.
I don't want them on my jury.
People who are the accused too, this person looks a little rough around the edges. I don't really like the looks of this guy. Like that's something where a blind person would almost be in an advantage to justice.
Well, yes. And we do certainly have judges who are blind, not a lot, mind you, but that doesn't hamper that particular job. We certainly know lawyers who are blind and, do wonderful work. So, what happens is that people who are on the voters list in Canada are sent a questionnaire randomly. So the questionnaire comes to you and you are obliged by law to fill it out. It goes back into the pool And then from those who are seen to be eligible because of what they've said on their questionnaire, in other words, they don't belong to an excluded profession or have physical illnesses or disabilities that will keep them from being able to serve, however you want, however that could be defined, then those people who filled out the questionnaire, those go into a pot. And then when it is time to call a jury, a whole raft of people who have answered the questionnaire are brought in. Now, just because you're called for jury duty does not mean you're going to serve on a jury. So a bunch of people are called in. A jury generally will have no more than 12 people. Sometimes there are alternates, depends on the trial. And people will then be called up, and they will be asked a very set series of questions. Now, the Crown, the prosecution, has the same questions as the defense. Those questions are for both of them. But everybody has a certain number of peremptory exclusions. So in other words, somebody can look at a potential juror and say, yeah, no, I don't want that guy. They don't have to say why for a certain number of peremptory exclusions. They can also exclude people for cause. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a rather vivid imagination. And I was imagining the jury selection in the Trump trial, because one of the very first questions that people are generally asked is, can you make a fair and impartial decision in this case? And the cases, you know, so for example, if there is a case in which somebody you know is being tried, you will be excluded if you say, no, I can't, because, you know, that's my grandmother, or that person lives next door to me. So, you know, you will be excluded. That, you know, so you have a reason to be excluded, maybe because there's a conflict of some kind. I had this imagination of people who really feel very negatively to Donald Trump being asked if they could make a fair and impartial decision, and expounding for quite a period of time on why they could not. They want to be excluded from jury duty, but they also want the opportunity, because he's sitting right there, to tell him exactly why they could not.
I think, and Danielle, that's the way to go, as opposed to what I really thought of. Oh, yes, of course I could. Why is your nose growing?
Here's a really interesting thing about juries. I've read a bit about jury trials, and one of the things that I find remarkable is you take a random group of people who come from all walks of life, except for the designated few. You put them in a room together. You tell them the same information. You have a judge explaining the law to them. And on the whole, they take it very seriously. They put aside their prejudices and their preconceived notions. And they come up, on the whole, with a fair decision. And they really do seek the truth in cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's a really wonderful part of democracies, that we really have an expectation that when called upon, each and every one of us will do our very best come up with a fair decision.
Yeah, well, and Danielle, that's being privileged enough in our country, lucky enough to be able to do something like this and having the right to do so. Danielle, I do have a question submitted by Ramya, though. Do jurors get paid?
Do jurors get paid? Well, it depends, as you know, every time you ask a question. For the first period of time, they do not get paid. I think the first period is 10 days. If a trial goes longer than that, then yes, they will get paid. And then if it goes past a certain length of time, the pay goes up. It's not great. I don't think jurors ever get more than $100 a day. If they are impaneled, they will get meals. They will, generally speaking, be allowed to go home at night. There are a few things that jurors in Canada are told. And one of the things that they are told is, you don't get to talk about the trial until after the trial is completely finished. You don't get to talk to your family or your friends or anyone about it. You don't, and this was true in the United States as well, you don't get to use social media while the trial is ongoing. You can't read about the case in the newspapers or anywhere in media, any sort of media. You can't watch the news that where it covers this. All of this is very important. Not terribly long ago, there was a case in which a juror had decided that she wanted to find out more about what had been, what she was hearing about in the case that she was on which she was impaneled. And she went to the location where the incident had occurred. She said she was doing her own research. Well, that was a mistrial.
That's intense. Jurors, yeah.
Yeah. And jurors are only allowed to make their decisions based on the evidence that is presented in court. And they are instructed by the judge on how to apply the law that is at hand. So, you know, people who think that they can just, you know, I can do this on my own. No, you can't, and you're not.
Yeah.
You could actually be making you could be held in contempt of court, which is an offense. You know, people have gone to jail for contempt of court. So you don't want to mess with that kind of stuff, right?
No. Danielle, wrapping real quick because we're out of time. Yeah. We know that some of the potential jurors in the Trump trial have been concerned, you know, about their safety. Does your identity when you're on a trial can it be made public in Canada, and can people refuse to be on the jury?
Well, you can't. You have to have a good reason to refuse to be on the jury. Or one of the best ones is I can't make an impartial decision in this case. But it may be that you're in the middle of moving house. You are ill, or a close family member is ill. There may be some good reasons for refusing jury duty. On the whole, though, you can't. It's a requirement by law. And in Canada, your identity is not made public. In the United States, jurors after a trial will speak to the media. In Canada, you are not allowed to speak publicly about the case at all. Full stop. It's over. Your identity is not shared. In the United States, they've had cases where they've said it's a matter of freedom of expression. The media should be able to get access to who the jurors are, as you've seen in the Trump trial and some others. Like if there's a a major criminal trial, they will hide the identities of jurors.
Thank you. Danielle, fantastic. We're way over. We will talk to you next week. Great topic.
Thank you. Bye now.
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott. Join me every day for Double Tap. It's a show where we occasionally talk about technology for blind and partially sighted people. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts.